Desert Island Discs.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is an oboist, certainly the most famous oboist in the world. Here is Leon Goossens. And one question I don't have to ask is if you come from a musical family.
I do.
How many members of the family are playing at the moment?
Four. Eugène, conductor, and my two sisters, Marion Sidonia, and myself.
Well, Sidonia was on this island a year or two ago. She'd probably left a message for you somewhere.
And some kindling wood, I hope.
I hope the message is a respectful one. You know what younger sisters are.
I doubt it.
How difficult did you find it to narrow your choice for the Desert Island down to 8 records?
Well, I think it's the most difficult thing I've ever tackled.
Oh?
You see, after about 50 years of musical experience, one has amassed so much music and so much experience that it becomes almost impossible to choose one item from possibly 70 items.
What was your approach to the problem? Nostalgic?
Mostly, yes. You could say, I think, that I was almost born in a property basket in the theatre and being steeped in opera. So my first choice has been, naturally, opera.
Mm-hmm.
And I've chosen a little piece from Tosca by Puccini. And that is the beginning of the last act, where the bells take preference over everything. It's the most lovely moment, and it sets the scene for the most perfect act.
The opening of the third act of Puccini's Tosca, played by the Orchestra of the Scala Milan, conducted by Victor de Sabata. Now, what's your second choice?
My second choice is a very great friend of mine I met in 1927 in America, Segovia, the famous guitarist.
Yes.
He is certainly one of the greatest artists, I think, alive today. And I've chosen from his various recordings a little nocturne.
Segovia playing a nocturne by Toroba. You said you were practically born in a property basket. Your father was conductor with the Carl Rosa Opera Company, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes, for many, many years. And his father before him.
With the same company?
With the same company, yes.
Are there sons to carry on the line into the fourth generation?
I'm afraid there are not. No, I have two daughters, you see, and one is on the stage, the other is in business.
Yes. Where did the family come from originally? Goossens has a Flemish son.
My father was born in Bordeaux. And for many years, I think he and his father and his grandfather all lived in Bruges,
mm-hmm.
where his grandfather was a silver beater.
Yes.
And he came over to England, I mean my father and his father came over to England when Dad was in his teens, I think.
How early did you begin to take a personal interest in music?
It was rather forced on me in the first place, I think, as most young children, about the age of 7, when I learnt the piano, or thought I was learning the piano. Then, of course, I was attracted to the oboe, partly by design on my father's part, because every time the oboe played in the opera, I was told that was the oboe, until I got so accustomed to listening to it. You see, that when they said, "Would you like to learn the oboe?" I just threw myself at it straight away.
Yeah. It's a very easily transportable instrument. Your sisters, being harpists, must envy you.
Yes, I quite agree. I'm sure they do.
Did you have a family orchestra as children?
I suppose we did. You know, every Sunday evening we used to make music between ourselves, and sometimes our friends came in just to listen.
Mm.
And that was a great thrill. My father played the piano for us, and we used to play sonatas, little tunes, and trios by Spohr, the string trios, and we just played what we could and dropped out when we couldn't go on any further.
Let's have record number three.
Fun. Well, record number three. Now, here is nostalgia. It's "I Call on Thee, O Lord," the most beautiful little tune, and it takes me back to my first introduction to my wife. She is a dancer, and this was one of her most successful pieces of music. She made a dance to this, and it's one of the loveliest things I've ever seen on a platform.
I call on thee, O Lord, an organ piece by Bach, played by Helmut Baucher. Where did you study?
In Liverpool. Until I was 14, I studied music at the Liverpool College.
Yes.
And then at 14, we all moved to London, and I went to the Royal College of Music.
What was your very first professional engagement, do you remember?
It's a long time ago now, but I do remember, actually, as if it were last week. I played for a week at New Brighton in the Winter Gardens. I was the only oboe in the orchestra, naturally. It was a very small orchestra. And we played 7 concerts. And I think I received 1 guinea as payment.
Bravo. And when you left college?
When I left college, I went to the Queen's Hall Orchestra as principal oboe. And I stayed with them until the following year when I joined the army and went to the war.
Yes.
And I came back at the end of the war. Strangely enough, I got a bullet on the 5th of November, and I was in hospital on the 10th, and the armistice was the next day. So I timed it very well, eh?
And you came back to the Queen's Hall Orchestra?
Came back to the Queen's Hall Orchestra as soon as I could, after I'd got my practice back, you
right.
see.
And then?
Then, of course, after that, I started with a trio with Albert Francella, the flautist, and a pianist, Ticciati. We had this trio. We gave recitals in London and in various provincial towns. And that, of course, started my solo career.
Yes, your very brilliant
career.
Because
I gave recitals on my own after that.
Yes. Let's break off and have another record.
Well, now, I think, by way of a contrast from the last one, here is a little rondo by Mozart. I'm reminded of this always. I keep thinking of it because it was so amusing at the time. I was rehearsing it with the Lena Quartet, all 3 players of the quartet, actually, for a concert at the Queen's Hall, and we were going to record it later. And they came to my studio in Chelsea, and they were very attracted by the studio, and I thought at the time they were dying to get this rehearsal over, and I couldn't understand it quite, you know. So at last I said, "Gentlemen, are you in a hurry to get away, or can you sort of relax a little bit?" And they said, "Oh, we're perfectly all right, but we're dying to finish the rehearsal so that we can play musical chairs." So you can imagine, my wife went out and made a pot of tea, and we got as many chairs as we could. And the moment we'd finished the rehearsal, we played musical chairs, and to see the Lena Quartet falling all over the floor was the funniest thing in the world.
Splendid atmosphere for making music, especially Mozart music.
It was perfect, absolutely perfect. So when you hear this little rondo, it's quite an accompaniment to the musical chairs.
The rondo from Mozart's Oboe Quartet in F major. Is there a big repertoire for the oboe as a solo instrument?
Yes, there is. It's grown tremendously in the last few years.
Quite a number of composers have written work specially for you, haven't
they?
Oh,
yes. Yes, rather.
Who in
I
particular?
Mean, people like Arthur Bliss, Vaughan Williams, Arnold Bax, my brother Eugène.
It's a very impressive list. Your brother Eugène composed a work for 4 Goossens and Orchestra.
Yes, he did, yes. We produced that last year at the Chelsea Town Hall. It was a great success.
And, of course, your music has taken you pretty well all over the world.
Well, I think it's taken me quite a long way. I mean, right as far as Australia, New Zealand, Turkey, Persia, America, Canada, and more recently, Russia, of course.
Is there any basic difference between concert hall procedure here and overseas, in Russia, for instance?
No, I think it's very difficult to appreciate the fact that you are in Russia when you're playing there. It's just the same as any other country. Everything is just as easy.
Have you any major musical ambition as yet unfulfilled in any work that you want to play very much and haven't had an opportunity?
Yes, I have a little collection of music, mostly concerti, by various composers. One, for instance, is from Spain, another is from Hungary, one from Czechoslovakia, one from Romania. And I would love the opportunity of playing those one day.
Why hasn't it arrived? Is it that you find concert promoters have rather set idea?
Yes, of course, apart from the fact that some of them are only relatively new works, do you see? But I think, in general, concert promoters are rather afraid of new works on a strange instrument. If you're on the piano or on the violin, that might be easier.
Yes. Know. Let's have record number 5.
Well, number 5 is a very attractive little recording of two of my favourite people, Michael Flanders and Donald Swann. And this is a lovely little tune with amusing words and lovely music from At the Drop of a Hat, that great little show of theirs.
Which is having such a success now in New York.
Yes, tremendous success. Oh, they're a brilliant couple. And this little song is called Miss Alliance.
Miss Alliance by Michael Flanders and Donald Swann. What next?
Well, I think at this point it would be impossible to miss out one of my loveliest experiences in music, and that was the years during which I played at the Covent Garden Opera. I can never forget the amazing fascination I got every time I walked into that opera house. Because you got a smell of the stage, you got a smell of varnish, you got a smell of dust, and you got a smell of lemons and cabbages and oranges and bananas, do you know? Yeah. All in one. It's so, as you know, terribly near the market. It's a magnificent place. So that I've chosen one of the pieces of music from the Walküre of Wagner. And this is the fire music in the last act. It's the most wonderful piece of music.
The fire music from Die Walküre, Otto Edelmann with the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Georg Solti. Now, Leon, you're proposing to spend all these years on this island. How well qualified are you to do it? Could you look after yourself?
Well, I think I could. I think we would all say that possibly before we actually got there, because we don't even know what sort of desert island it's going to be. I mean, does one come across penguins, or does one come across turtles, or what?
You
see, that's the difficulty. One just has to take a chance. So I say with the other man, yes, just as easily as he might, possibly.
You think you could live off the land?
Well, I would hope to live as long as my records lasted, anyway.
Could you and would you fashion any musical instruments?
Oh, I would have a go at that, yes, rather.
What?
Oh, yes, I mean, I'd find some bamboo or something that was hollow. There's bound to be something that's hollow on the island.
Yes.
And I'd make something out of that, all right. Oh, yes.
Splendid.
Mind you, I wouldn't promise that it was the correct pitch, but still.
But good enough for an island.
Yes, it'd be good enough.
Record number 7.
Number 7, I think, is something which brings a lump to my throat quicker than most anything in my life. And that is a thrilling moment in the coronation, 1953.
Yes. You played in the orchestra.
I played in the orchestra there, yes. It really was the most wonderful, wonderful experience. And I find it very difficult to choose the moment that I really want to hear again, and that I want to keep on hearing again on this desert island. But I think I can't go very wrong when I choose the actual moment of the crowning.
An excerpt from the coronation service. And now we come to your last one.
My last is a recording by Sir Thomas Beecham, bless him, with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. This is a little work that had such great success wherever we went. We took it to Paris, we took it to Brussels, we took it to Germany and played it all over Germany. And Sir Thomas used to use it as an encore after the concert. He used to call it one of his lollipops.
Yes.
And it certainly is a lollipop with a capital L. And that is the little piece by Handel, and I think Sir Thomas arranged it for orchestra. It's the entry of the Queen of Sheba. and it's arranged for strings and two oboes.
The arrival of the Queen of Sheba from Handel's Solomon, played by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Sir Thomas Beecham. Well, there are your eight records. If you could only take one of them, which would it be?
Oh, I think undoubtedly the Bach. I call on thee, my Lord. Because I think for two reasons. It's lovely music. And it does remind me of when I first met my wife, and I don't think we need go any further into that.
Right.
You see?
And if you can take one luxury, what would it be?
Now, that's a difficulty. I've thought of so many things I'd like to take with me, and I think from luxury and nothing else, I think the most perfect thing would be a camp bed. You see, I cannot lie on a beach without getting a stone in the wrong position, right in my spine or something. So please let me have a nice camp bed, and I don't ask for anything else.
All right, and one bedside book.
A bedside book? Oh, I think... You see, I'm a very, very keen sailor. You see, love sailing. I think a nautical almanac would be perfect for me, because that is it's a feast of information for any person who sails. It tells you everything, making knots, tides, all about the tides at London Bridge. You see, I can say, well, it's 6 o'clock about in the evening. Tide at London Bridge will be high in about 40 minutes' time.
It was a very comforting thing to know on a desert island.
I know.
Well, thank you, Leon Cousins, for letting us hear your choice of desert island disc.
Well, thank you, and I only hope that it never happens.
So do I. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.